Webster says, the first definition of Webster says, the practice of expressing feelings, beliefs, or virtues one does not hold or possess. And then the second was an act or instance of hypocrisy. Then I looked up what the Bible Dictionary had to say, and it's basically exactly the same, but it's in plain English that I can easily understand, and it simply said, pretending to be what one is not. And I think that is a definition each one of us can grasp a hold of and understand. The other one uses a little bit different terminology, but is saying the same thing, and it covers more areas. That is a definition to think of, especially the one out of Webster's. And I'm not here this morning to start us down a path of accusing each other of being a hypocrite. I want us to look at this and say, what area in my life, Lord, am I being a hypocrite? And I don't want to really necessarily look at much of hypocrisy, because Peter doesn't talk very much about it. But he right away goes in and teaches us how to live above the first verse. He asks us to lay aside, in this first verse, he asks us to lay aside all these things, and I'm only picking one out. And then he tells us how to live above that. And that is what I want to look at this morning. We cannot hide who we are. You know, if we are expressing feelings and beliefs and virtues that we actually do not hold or possess, sooner or later, you will find out. If I am doing that, sooner or later, you will see in my life the way I live that, you know what, he actually doesn't believe what he preaches. He doesn't really believe that being a part of the church he is, that he does not need to do those things. Sooner or later, you will see that. Somehow God has a way of bringing these kind of things out and these kind of people in our lives. Let's look at this subject honestly and humbly. You and I know where Jesus stands on hypocrisy. We could go to Matthew chapter 23 where he talks to the Pharisees. I want to reference that chapter again. I'm not going to look at it. But Jesus had some extremely harsh language, some very cutting words to say to the Pharisees for living as hypocrites. And we are here this morning wanting, I trust and I believe, we're wanting to serve Jesus. We're wanting to honor and glorify him. And if we're going to live in hypocrisy this morning, we're not going to be accepted by Jesus. And that is my burden this morning, that we would live in such a way to be accepted by Jesus, to get rid of this sin of hypocrisy. Going back to our text, Peter calls us to lay aside hypocrisy. He also asks us to lay aside other things, but I'm going to look at hypocrisy this morning. What really drives this kind of lifestyle? Why do we as humans struggle with this issue to live differently, to pretend to live what we are not? Why do I want to put on a front? Why do I want to look good? Who am I trying to impress? Who am I trying to influence? What is the driving force behind it? I think we as humanity want and struggle. And it's part of this value system that Edward talked about. We want the praise of men in this area. We want to be accepted by those around us. And so we put this front on to live so that people think well of us. And we begin to focus on ourselves. We look at ourselves and we say, what can I do to live and put on so that people think well of me? My mind was drawn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. I'll just read part of the verse here. This is the end of the verse. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. We somehow build a standard to live by, and we compare each other by each other. And in doing so, I believe we set up a hypocritical religion or system. We begin to build a religion that becomes a man-focused religion, just as the Pharisees did. And God's laws became less important than man's laws. Let's look at the meaning of the last two verses we read in our text this morning. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. We think of children especially, but even adults. They lose their appetite. And we become concerned, especially when they lose weight. They begin to look sickly. We say, what is the matter? Why aren't they eating? And you know, really, when we become a hypocrite, when I become a hypocrite, I become a sick person. I have lost an appetite, and it begins to show up. A child cannot go real long before symptoms of malnutrition and a lot of other things begin to show up when they quit eating. It's no different in the Christian life. When you and I quit feeding on the Word of God, we become hypocrites. We begin to live and put on a front. We expect children to grow. If they don't, we wonder why. You know, adults need to stop growing. Some of us don't, and that is another problem. But we expect children to continue to grow. And if they don't, we wonder, what is wrong? And you look at the Christian. If we're going to grow, we need to drink of spiritual bread, to eat of that spiritual bread, and to drink from that fountain of life. If we quit partaking there, and this covers many different areas, but I'm thinking mostly on hypocrisy this morning. If we quit eating that bread of life and we quit drinking from that fountain, we become hypocrites. We quit growing. Suddenly, things change. I looked in another version, the NIV. And it says here that verse 3 says, the NIV says that now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. This morning you and I have experienced salvation. We have experienced that the Lord tastes good. It was kind of hard for me to grasp it in the way the King James has it written, but the NIV says, the Lord, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. You and I have experienced that. And I'd like to turn to Titus chapter 3. There's a number of verses here. First, I was just going to read them, but I decided that later on, I think we need to turn to them. Titus chapter 3. Got a couple verses here that I want to look at. Have you and I experienced, and I trust this morning that you and I have experienced, that the Lord is good? Let's start reading in verse 3, Titus chapter 3, verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. These are some very beautiful and precious verses. Not verse 3, but the others. Verse 3 describes our lives before. I just love how verse 4 starts out. But after we experience Christ, after we have given our life to Him, after we've experienced the plan of salvation, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared to us. It says here, appeared toward man. Our Savior toward man appeared. We can make that personal. for each one of us this morning. Christ's kindness and love appeared to each one of us. You think about what Christ, we talked about having communion here in a couple of weeks. And I don't want to go too far into that, but you think about what Christ left. What God gave up. For what reason? We are undeserving, sinful men that God would even extend love and kindness to us. You know, back there in the Garden of Eden, man rejected God. We as humans rejected God. He created this crowning glory of himself, and we turned around and rejected him. And yet he came to earth. Out of his love and kindness, he came to earth to restore that relationship. He made a plan for us. Verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness. You and I can do nothing this morning. We can be as good as possible, and we still fall so short of God's righteousness. But it was by his mercy that he saved us, and that he washed us in this life of regeneration. As we go through life, he continues to work. He brings things into our lives. I was going to bring this in here, and I forgot to look up the verse. I came across it, and then I forgot to save it in my notes. But God talks about the chastening of the Lord. You know, he tells us that if the Lord does not chasten us, if he does not punish us, then we are bastards. We aren't even part of his kingdom. But God brings difficulties into our life to purify us, to regenerate us, to make us more perfect, more like him. And it's because of his mercy. And this continues to build up in these verses. He still isn't done with this, but when he's finished with us on this earth, his desire is that we would be heirs with him, with Jesus. And I think it's hard for us to grasp this thought, because in the time this was written, the oldest child, and in the Jewish culture, the oldest child became the heir of his father's possessions. When the father passed on, he passed on the authority of the patriarch. He was the son, the oldest son now became the leader of the clan. He was an heir. He inherited more than the rest. But Christ changed that. There's not one of us here that's going to inherit more than somebody else. We're all equal heirs of Jesus Christ. Jesus, by rights, should be the heir, the one that receives the most. But he's going to share that with us. And he gives us hope of eternal life. Undeserving man. We don't deserve this hope. We don't deserve this quality of air. But Christ gives that to us this morning. And if we taste that, and if we experience that, and we live by that, we will not be hypocrites. Now I want to go, and this may be kind of backing up, but let's go to Matthew chapter 15. I'm sorry. I probably should have had that portion at the end of my message, but it's not there. Let's back up a little bit and think about hypocrisy again. Matthew chapter 15, I'm going to look at a small account or a portion that happened in Jesus' life. Instead of going and looking at what he told the Pharisees, I'm going to look at this, because I do want us to understand Jesus' hatred and disgust for people that pretend to be what they are not. Verse 1, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not that not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude, and said unto them, Hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. I'm not really going to get into where they were transgressing. I didn't study into that, and I didn't feel like I had the time this morning. But what is Jesus saying here so clearly in verse 11 is that it's not so much what you take in through your mouth, it's what comes out. And generally what comes out 90% of the time, or maybe it's even a higher percentage, is words comes out of our mouth. And where do words come from? Where do our thoughts originate? It comes from our heart. It comes from our mind. And Jesus is saying, this is what's important. And this is where we need to take care of our hypocritical heart. We can put on a front. Just you go to Matthew chapter 23, and Jesus lists many, many things that they did on the outside. And then he goes, but what's in the heart? If you and I do not taste of the Lord and experience that salvation in our hearts, we're a hypocrite. It's that simple. You and I need to experience and taste what the Lord is. And I think we should, it would do us well to look at chapter 23, and I ask you to do that on your own. But I think this chapter should cause us to sit up and to think about what you and I do. Why do we do the things we do? And am I putting the commandments of men before the word of God? It's very easy for human people to simply live by a set of standards without having tasted of the Lord. It's very easy for me to live by the church standards. I believe that's what the Pharisees did. They simply were living by the standards that they had arranged for themselves, and they did not have God in their hearts. And you and I can do the exact same thing this morning. But we as religious people need to think about it seriously. So do we need to do a radical change? Do we need to change our whole standard, our whole dress and everything? I don't think so. Because remember, it starts in the heart. And we talked about idols quite a bit this morning. If our hearts are not set on pleasing God and desiring to taste and to drink of His Word, if our hearts are not there, then yes, we need a radical change. But it needs to start in the heart. Maybe we don't really need to change anything on the outside. But this morning, hypocrisy is in the heart. What does it take to lay aside hypocrisy? Is there a simple way to do it this morning? Is it just an easy couple steps? I think it may be answered both ways, yes and no. In the flesh, it'll always be a battle. You and I, the devil knows his time is short, and he is using every measure this morning to get us to stumble and fall. And this is just one small area, one battleground that he wants us to fall in. And so, no, there is not a simple way. But then I think of a little children's song that we sing so often. And it's so simple. And yes, it's easy. Maybe the theory is easy and the practice is hard, is how I should say it. Jesus often calls us to simplicity, and we as adult humans tend to make life a lot more difficult than what the gospel actually is. The song I was thinking of is J-O-Y, Jesus First. This morning, if you and I are struggling with hypocrisy, which I think is so common in our human hearts that probably each one of us needs to admit, sooner or later, yes, I'm being a hypocrite here, and I need to change. I need Jesus in that part of my life. Jesus needs to be first this morning. We need to start our day out with Jesus. We need to, all of our decisions that are passed through our heads, whether business, just everything, needs to be passed by Jesus through prayer. He needs to be first. Others before me. Jesus first, others next. The needs of my brothers and sisters need to come before my wishes and wants. We could go into the money world with this. Would you and I be willing to give up something we want? I'm going to pick on something that I'm not. You all know that I'm not a real big hunter. And hunting is fine. If you enjoy it, just don't let it come before Jesus. But would you be willing to give up a hunting trip to help out somebody? I'm not saying you're a hypocrite if you don't, but let's think about it. Are we putting others before us? If we don't want to deal with hypocrisy, do we put others before ourselves? Am I willing to give up my ideas for my brothers? Even though 9 times out of 10, I'm still going to think my idea is better. But am I willing to give up my ideas, my wants and wishes? What did Peter say to Jesus? How many times do I need to forgive, Lord? 7? 7 was the perfect number for the Jewish people. And I believe Peter picked that number feeling like, well, I probably can't go wrong here. 7 is the perfect number. But Jesus said, no, you need to do 70 times 7. Forgiveness is another area. Putting others first. And then why is simple. Yourself last. Are we willing to always take the last, be last? And many, and this is another really broad perspective of life. Am I willing, in humility and love for you all, am I willing to just be last and appreciate the contribution of others? Just having a love and a desire to see others exceed before me. I'd like to take our minds back to our text in closing. Do we taste of Jesus every day? Are we drinking? It says that, I'll have to go back to it, desiring, the sincere desire of the word. Sincere milk of the word, that has the idea of being pure. Are we desiring that pure word of life? And are we desiring to live an open and honest life so that Jesus gets all the glory? We're here to live for him. If that is not the desire of our heart, if that is not the pure, undefiled desire of our heart, if that is not the desire of my heart, I should say, then I'm a hypocrite. I'm up here putting on a front. If that is not my desire to live for Jesus, let's kneel for prayer.